The 11th of June, Tuesday, in Judy Palkovich's dining room. I'm Howard.
Excuse me, it's the 11th of July.
11th of July. Thank you. And in Judy Palkovich's dining room, continuing her interview for National Council of Jewish Women. I want you to continue, if you would, about your knowledge and participation in the discussion and the whole aspect of the ZOA matters as you see it.
Okay. I think it's important that it be recorded what happened. It was a major schism in the Jewish community here in Pittsburgh, and unfortunately my husband had a major role in it. We had been members of the ZOA for many, many years. Joe Breeman, with whom we had gone to Israel in 1982, had asked us to join, and we subsequently did. We became involved. The ZOA was an organization linked to Likud, but it didn't seem to make any difference here in Pittsburgh. It was just the Zionist organization to which men belonged, as well as women, unlike Hadassah, which is the women's organization. And men can be affiliated, but they're not members. And so it was just another one of the ways in which we played out our interest in Israel and in Zionism. And over the years, we became members of the board and officers in various capacities, etc. And at a certain point, Harry became the president of the ZOA locally. And he became the president of the ZOA, I would imagine, in July of 95. At that time, Morton Klein was very active on a national level as the president of the ZOA, and very anti-Rabin, and very anti-everything that was going on in the state of Israel and had been for some time, considering himself the one who knows what's best for the state of Israel. The local ZOA was trying very hard to maintain the posture that it had had in this community, which was to be a Zionist organization, really without political affiliation. Most of the members locally had no idea of any affiliation with Likud. They just knew the ZOA was where you were a Zionist in Pittsburgh if you were a man or a couple, etc. But Morton Klein's denigration of all the efforts toward the peace process kept getting deeper and deeper. And the board of the officers, the executive committee of the local ZOA, became more and more concerned. Morton Klein was invited to come to Pittsburgh a couple of times to talk and to have us talk to him about our concerns about what was happening with National ZOA. Several other people came from the National ZOA to talk to us, again, to try to make us understand why they were doing what they were doing. And it became increasingly apparent that we were never going to have a meeting of the minds. They believed in deprecating what was going on in the peace process, and we believed that the role of an American Zionist was to back the currently elected government of Israel, no matter what that government was. So they backed Likud when it was Likud, and they backed Labor when it was Labor, and they backed the coalition when it was the coalition. And I still believe that is the role of an American Jew, that if you don't live there, whatever the people have decided is what you go along with. In any case, it came to a head in the spring of 96. Came to a very big head. And the executive committee of the ZOA determined that they were going to leave the national organization. They got legal counsel who read the bylaws of the ZOA, Pittsburgh Zionist District, and were told that if the executive committee so voted, it made it a legal decision. Mm-hmm. And they very reluctantly voted to leave the National ZOA, and to become the ZOP, the Zionist Organization of Pittsburgh. And, of course, they were quartered in the ZOA house at the corner of Shady and Denniston, etc. there were some people who believed it was the wrong decision, and they left the ZOP, which was certainly their right. Nobody could deny them their membership in the ZOA, because ZOA was an organization to which they could be a member. But if they chose to not be a member of the ZOP, that was certainly their choice. And a couple of people on their own consciences felt that it was the wrong thing to do, and they left. But the overwhelming 95% of the board felt that this was the decision that was correct, and they went on to create the Zionist Organization of Pittsburgh, and we drew up legal papers, etc. And we're going to continue as what we had been, which was an organization backing the State of Israel, backing scholarships for kids to go to Israel, putting on Zionist programming, helping with the Israel parade, and everything else that a Zionist organization would do in the city. David Wecht, who was a member of the board of the ZOA when we were the ZOA, and who believed we should...
Cyril Sun,
did not want us to leave the ZOA, but we voted to leave the ZOA. And we voted not to put him on the board of the ZOP because he was so against what we were doing. So when they reconstituted a new board, they did not include David Wecht. And he said that if he were not included, he would make trouble. And he did. They brought a lawsuit. There was an election held for the officers of the ZOP officers were chosen by the ZOP board. There had been a meeting scheduled, or an annual ZOA meeting, which we canceled. Zalman Shapiro subsequently arranged to have a meeting of the quote-unquote ZOA at the Beth Shalom. About 90 people came to it, and they proceeded to have an election. And they made... I want to say Zalman, but I forget who they made president. In any case, they had their own election, and they believed they had held a legal election under the ZOA, and they wanted the ZOA house, etc. They wanted to take us to court. In fact, they filed papers in court, in Common Pleas Court. David Wecht filed them and sent a copy of the suit to the Post-Gazette. We had been trying, that is, Harry and Stan Hirsch, Arnie Wagner, had been trying very hard to keep this whole thing out of the newspapers. The Jewish Chronicle had been filled with letters back and forth, very vitriolic, very horrible letters, calling Harry all kinds of names, etc. When the suit was supposed to go to Common Pleas Court, and David Weck sent the papers to the paper, to the Post-Gazette. Harry and Stan very reluctantly agreed to take this to a Beit Din. And the whole purpose of taking it to a Beit Din was to keep it out of the regular court system and to try to make this something which could be adjudicated in a way that would not redound to the detriment of the Jewish community, because this wasn't doing anybody any good. Zalman insisted that it had to be a totally orthodox Beit Din, and again, there was the thought that we wouldn't participate, but we even agreed, knowing this was not going to be good, we agreed to an orthodox Beit Din. And the Beit Din was constituted. Rabbi Pupko was part of it. Rabbi Tendler from New York was part of it, and I forget who the third rabbi was. And we subsequently had a hearing in front of the Beit Din. The hearing was held at Shira Torah in Rabbi Pupko's office. It was a terrible day in the life of this city. Harry was in a wheelchair. He was just getting over Guillain-Barré. In fact, the night of the meeting at which we determined that we, in fact, were going to be the ZOP was the night that Harry got Guillain-Barré. The next day he was in the hospital, and he was totally paralyzed from the neck down for the next several weeks. All that summer while we were in the rehab center, on Friday morning we met with the lawyers. Every Friday morning at 8 o'clock. It was horrible. We're fighting this dread disease, and we had to meet with the lawyers. I just forgot his first name, Herman. You know who I mean. He just died a couple years ago. Anyway, we had legal counsel, and we went to the Beit Din. We sat for almost 9 hours that day at the Sherat Torah. Harry in a wheelchair, exceedingly uncomfortable sitting, but we sat there. And we knew from the very beginning with the way in which Rabbi Tendler spoke that there was no way we were coming out of this. Because he was very laudatory to the people who were there for the ZOA and very deprecating to those of us who were not part of the current ZOA. And in fact, they came down with a decision that said that the election had been illegal because we did not bring it to the general membership, that the election that was held by the dissidents from the ZOA was the legally constituted group, that we had no right to the ZOA house. In the process, the end result was the financial strength of the local ZOA was totally sapped by this whole court business. The firm that represented the adjudication gave the ZOP, the group that was headed by Harry, the right to a certain number of Israel bonds that had been, that was part of the settlement. The ZOA dissidents got the ZOA house. In the process, they had totally depleted the fund that had been established to maintain the house. They had used that money to fight the court case. And the settlement was such that the bonds which we got, that is the dissident group got, went to pay for the services of the legal counsel. At one point, both Harry and Stan Hirsch were at risk of losing of a great deal of financial loss, which never happened. But our futures were all on hold, basically, because the ZOA group had wanted over $300,000. And had they been awarded that, the only place to get it was from Stan and Harry. There was no fund to have it. And subsequent to that, the ZOA fought through with Zalman, fought against the group to which most of the people went, which was B'nai Zion. B'nai Zion had nothing to do with the ZOA or the ZOP. It was constituted as another group. It was constituted as a group which happens to be in coalition with National Hadassah. In that grouping of Zionists, which are nonpartisan. B'nai Zion is a nonpartisan supporter of the State of Israel. They are not part of any, they're part of the World Confederation of United Zionists, which Hadassah is the major member, and B'nai Zion is a smaller member, much smaller member. And the philosophy is nonpartisan, meaning whatever the State of Israel's government is the government we back. B'nai Zion was started here by the people who had been at the ZOP, but it had nothing to do with the ZOP, legally, financially, or in any other way. But Zalman fought its creation and fought virtually anything that had to do with it. The B'nai Zion here locally is thriving, has almost 400 members at this point, which greatly dwarfs what is the membership of the ZOA here. The ZOA lost a lot of people. Unfortunately, a lot of people in this community just chose to walk away. Yeah. They didn't want to take sides between Harry and Stan and Zalman.
Well, they didn't know enough to make a decision.
Even when they knew enough.
Yeah.
This Sholem Bayit complex that everybody has. Yeah. There are times when you have to stand up and be counted. Yeah. And lots of the people in this community chose to sit on the sidelines. It was really a very depressing time, and of course it was the time when Harry was the sickest, and it really only got resolved about a year before he ended up dying. So I mean, it really was terrible. I will never forgive Zalman Shapiro for what he did. I will never forgive David Wecht or his father. Cyril is a madman, in my personal opinion. You don't have to put that in if you don't want. But Cyril once attacked Harry physically at a Hebrew Institute meeting.
I was there.
And it is unbelievable to me that intelligent adults who also happen to be Jewish men, who also happen to have a concern for the community, that anybody would physically attack somebody else. But in fact, it happened. I believe that David has inherited his father's egocentricity and his ability and his thinking that they are the only ones that have, you know, they have the divine knowledge of what is right and wrong. In any case, it is very sad, but the ZOA here is withering away. They have depleted their resources. If it weren't for Zalman's money, I doubt they would have anything. I have no idea what he's put into it, but somebody is helping to fund it because it certainly is not the National ZOA, which is totally bankrupt, financially bankrupt. I'm aware of that. It's a known fact. They're being funded by this man who has housing units all over the world and hospitals. But in any case, it's a very, very sad chapter in Pittsburgh Zionist history. And it created a great deal of discomfort among people who had been very active together. A lot of people wanted nothing to do with B'nai Zion because they just didn't want to be part of any of it. Most people are very willing to take the path least resistance, which is, you know, a pox on both your houses, which was absolutely the wrong way to make decisions on that basis. Zionism is still flourishing in the city of Pittsburgh. It's just not flourishing at the corner of Forbes and Denison.
Now?
Oh, the ZOA does.
Yeah, it says so on the building.
Oh, absolutely. They want it in the court case, in the Beit Din. And
getting income from young people who are using it these last few months since the fire.
Well, it's the only income they've got, basically. Uh-huh. But I mean, it's a terrible tragedy in the community. It didn't have to happen. But Zalman was adamant that this was the wrong, we were doing the wrong thing. We should be backing National ZOA in its criticism of the government. And we believe that we shouldn't. And out of it came a tremendous schism. And I don't think the community will ever recover. It'll never get back to what had truly been a united Zionist community in the sense that whether you were Hadassah, whether you were Naamat, whether you were ZOA, it didn't make any difference. We all went to the dinners together, and we all did everything together. And, you know, when Gloria Elbling became the president of Naamat, she was honored by the ZOA. There was very much of a camaraderie, and it doesn't exist anymore. The latest chapter of which is that the man who was supposed to become the head of the ZOA did not become the head of the ZOA this year because he attended a B'nai Zion function. Mm-hmm. And therefore he was just kicked out.
The utopian perfectionist or the single-mindedness people of this world, sometimes they have single mind, sometimes mad mind, and they're very close. They're very close. Zalman and Wecht are two people we both know. And
egocentric to a fault. They obviously have the hand of the divine leading them. That's the way they feel.
That's the way they behave.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't be talking, you should be. That's the way they behave. I think they are first crazy. Literally institutionalizable crazy. Except that evidently they stop short of that and have this expression, like when he tried to literally kill Harry and was challenging him. He took his hands all over him.
Oh, yeah. Two guys pulled him off. Billy Berkowitz and somebody else pulled him off.
I know.
And my husband was the gentlest person in the entire world. Not that anybody should have been attacked.
I was so surprised. I was so surprised at that thing. And they pulled them apart, and Wecht continued to scream, "Come outside! Come outside! Come outside!" You know, out in the alley. And I had never seen that. And these are the people you're talking about.
Well, they truly believe that their way is the only way. They are single-minded in that purpose. And unfortunately, the fallout was they destroyed the local ZOA. They don't admit that, but they destroyed the local ZOA. We can't even get them to stop sending us mail. I have implored them to take, I've insisted, I shouldn't say implored, to take our name off their mailing list. And the stuff still keeps coming. And it comes from National ZOA.
Yeah.
They take nobody's name off of anything because their numbers have diminished so greatly that they just refuse to take anybody's name off. And Morton Klein is a zealot with a fax machine.
Mm-hmm.
And he's ruined National ZOA. And he has he certainly destroyed it locally. Mm-hmm. And it was one of the saddest things, communal things imaginable. And Harry was greatly, greatly saddened by the whole thing. He had been in positions of leadership at the Federation and at the Hebrew Institute and at other places in the Medical Society and the hospitals and everything. He had never been so mm-hmm. Embroiled in any kind of a controversy like this. Mm-hmm. And it was very sad that significant parts of the community did not, could not, or would not understand what was going on. And a lot of people just backed away and took the path of least resistance, which was, I don't know which one of you is right, therefore I'm doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very sad, because if you can't stand up and be counted when people are putting their names on the line for an ideal to which you agree, nobody's asking anybody to put, you know, to go along with something you don't agree. It was really very sad. But it is something which should be noted in the archives of this city.
I'm very satisfied that you told that story, and that it's good to have it here.
Yeah.